I'm Shadi Hamid. I'm a fellow at the Brookings Institution here in Washington, D.C. I'm an author of a new book called Temptations of Power, Islamists and Illiberal Democracy in a New Middle East. My research focus for many years now has been on the role of Islamist movements in the democratic process, with a particular focus on the Muslim Brotherhood. So I think that we're entering a Salafi jihadi moment in the Middle East, that the more extremist groups are gaining ground. And of course, now we've seen the so-called establishment of a caliphate by ISIS in large swaths of territory in Iraq and Syria. So we see a very negative trend line. So I think one of the key questions here is, what about the more moderate or the more mainstream Islamist groups that are maybe problematic in their own way, but at least they're generally committed to nonviolence and working through the democratic process? What about them? So groups like the Muslim Brotherhood and its descendants and affiliates across the region, they've suffered a kind of relative decline over the past year because of the military coup against Mohamed Morsi, and they're playing less of a prominent role. So I think what we've seen here is the strengthening of the jihadist narrative. They say the Muslim Brotherhood, they want to go slow. They're very gradual. They want to work through the messiness of the democratic process. So these extremist groups are saying, forget that gradualist approach. We can establish the Islamic State right now through brute force, through violence. And I'm afraid to say that I think violence works, or it has worked in many of these cases over the past 2 years, and not just on the part of extremist groups, but also on the part of autocratic regimes, which aren't offering real concessions or compromise to their opponents. But what they're thinking is more oppression, more force, because the lesson they learned from the fall of Ben Ali and Mubarak was they were soft. They gave up too easily. So what they're trying to do is hold on for dear life. Well, first I'll just say that I think the Islamic tradition is very multifaceted, and there's not one Islam. So you can have one Muslim who looks at the Quran, Sunnah, and tradition, and he or she comes with a certain conclusion, but then someone comes up with a different conclusion. We hope that the more moderate interpretations are the ones that have the most currency, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And unfortunately, the extremists have their own justifications, and they point to the text too, but they distort the message in their own way. But ultimately, I think that that's the challenge in Islam today, is that unlike Catholicism, for example, there's no central church or mosque that tells Muslims how to believe. So what we've had is almost a kind of democratization of Islamic thought. Everyone is doing it on their own. And you have a lot of preachers that maybe aren't very well qualified, and they're very politicized, and they go in a troubling direction. So this is the challenge that we have. I think it's certainly possible that the U.S., Europe, and countries like Turkey, and there's certainly the Partnership Fund for Countering Terrorism that Turkey has been involved in with the Obama administration. So there are kind of educational and social initiatives that I think can help promote more tolerant or pluralistic understandings of Islam. That's certainly part of it, but we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that some of this has to do with politics. If young Muslims are angry and frustrated and they don't have outlets to express their grievances, then naturally they're going to be susceptible to extremist messages. So the educational side is important, but we can't forget the political side as well. Sure. I think part of the problem here is that the Obama administration sees the Middle East as a kind of nuisance. They don't want to get more involved. Obama himself sees his legacy as extracting the U.S. from two costly, tragic wars. So anything that kind of brings the U.S. back into the middle of things, Obama, I think, has a fundamental, almost philosophical resistance to that. So I think this administration is not very well positioned to play a more proactive strategic role, because that's not what Obama wants to be doing. And I think that the U.S. has suffered very much, and the Middle East has suffered very much, yes, from Obama's lack of strategic vision. And this very kind of putting out the fires approach. You wait for the fire to burn, then you go in, but then it's probably too late. And I think the hope is going forward is that there might be a middle ground between the aggressive interventionism of the Bush administration, which was destructive, But I think in a different way, Obama's approach has also been problematic. I would like to think, and I hope there is, a middle ground in between those, that we can find that golden middle, if you will. Yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic in the long run. I think that people gravitate towards democracy and political freedom, that autocrats don't last forever, because at some point people are going to ask to vote for their own leaders and representatives. I just think getting there is going to be messy. It's going to be bloody. And the Americans themselves went through a very devastating civil war. Many countries have to go through a violent period before they realize that they have to find a way to live together. They don't have to agree with each other. They don't have to like each other. They can have different ideologies, but there has to be a shared commitment to resolving those differences through the democratic process. And I think at some point when you've seen so much bloodshed, you start to realize that the peaceful approach is the best approach. I hope those more positive messages of Islam will gain ground. I don't think that's where we are now. I think that there's going to be this interim period of considerable violence. But yeah, I mean, in the long run, I do think that the arc of justice bends in a positive direction, as the saying goes. And I think that, but we have to wait, and there has to be patience, but the international community has to do more. And I think the point is well taken as well, that with all the money that has been used, for example, I think the intervention in Iraq, the war in Iraq, and the devastation that resulted has poisoned the atmosphere in our own country here in the U.S., but also in the Middle East. And we're still seeing the after effects and the legacy of the Iraq war. We're seeing it today with the rise of ISIS in Iraq. Yes. So I think that, you know, it's an interesting question. If the Iraq war hadn't happened and the Bush administration had used those billions of dollars for a better, different cause, then maybe things would have been quite a bit different. Yeah.